Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. You're going to enjoy today's show because we are going to do a little something special. We have quite a few guests today, and that's because we have some important information that we want to bring to you. But before we go ahead and introduce today's guest, I am going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. Every day of the week, Monday through Friday. And that actually, you know what? Be an evangelist on Saturday and Sunday as well. Tell someone about the Roundtable Talk Show. I'm pretty sure there's someone in your network, maybe in your office, maybe your coworker, maybe your spouse, but there's someone who wants to start their entrepreneurial journey, or maybe they just started it out and they will not have this information unless you go ahead and share this show with them. Because as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And you definitely do not want to miss today's episode, which is brought to you by the Real Estate Playbook, a 100% educational workshop presented by real estate instructor, Deborah Spence, with a simple promise to help you develop a clear plan to sell more homes and earn a consistent income selling real estate. It's an in-person and virtual event that you definitely want to attend. The link is in the Facebook post, so go ahead and check it out. So while you're checking out the Real Estate Playbook and you're sharing it with friends, you're doing your job, I'm going to go ahead and do my job. I want to go ahead and introduce our first guest. Oh, this man is amazing. He's a buzz all over social media and all over the world. Mr. Corey Mosley. Corey Mosley is an award-winning business strategist, speaker, and coach. For almost two decades, Corey has been dedicated to one thing: helping entrepreneurs, small business owners, and corporations grow. Accredited as a certified speaking professional by the National Speakers Association, Corey has spoken internationally on business growth topics like sales, marketing, human capital, operations, and most importantly, mindset. Good morning, Corey. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm super excited to be with you and your audience. I'm ready to get rocking and rolling and help some people grow today.
Well, let's get rocking and rolling. So tell us, what are you passionate about?
Well, I'm passionate about growth. That's the one word that I want people always connected with me on. I mean, you said it best in the intro. That's what I do all day, every day, as I'm working with entrepreneurs, small business owners, really anybody doing revenue $3 million or less that is asking themselves, how do I grow the business? That's singularly what I'm focused on. And we do that by being a single source solution for training and coaching for those entrepreneurs and business owners. A lot of people are out there suffering from overwhelm. They don't want to follow eight different gurus. They don't have time to be in eight different free Facebook groups or eight different courses on how to grow their business. So what they want to do is they want to do more. They want to achieve more. They want to grow their business. And we give them a way to do that without having to run around, be overwhelmed, waste time, and feel like a student 24 hours a day, instead of being able to actually do what they want to do, grow their business. And that's what we're focused on.
I love it. Now, Corey, why are you so passionate about growth?
I'm passionate about it because I lived the experience. So I lived the experience of having to start out from, you know, my aunt's garage. I had a big computer, I had a big Mac computer there. And that's where I was starting to do consulting work and starting to learn my business. And for me, I wanted to be an attorney, and that's where it all started. But I'm probably the only person that you'll ever meet that at the age of 13, my favorite show was LA Law, because I was convinced I was going to be a lawyer. And you might think I wanted to be Blair Underwood's character, right? You might think that, but no, actually, I wanted to be Arnie Becker, who was the divorce attorney and drove the Bentley and had all these things. And that's what I wanted to do. I was always a communicator, and I wanted to use my communication skills that way to have what he had. The problem was, is that I joined the law program at 14, and my mentor looked disheveled, looked burnt out, drove a beat up Mazda, had $200,000 in student loan debt. And his idea of fun was to spend the next 10 years killing himself, working 100 hours a week to hopefully make partner. I jumped ship basically that day when I started to understand that this wasn't for me. I entered the car business as a teenager. I was 18 years old when I entered the auto industry. What was unique to that is I came in the business at a time that the internet came. So being the young kid who can turn the computer on, I got thrown into the world of internet selling and digital marketing. I got very good at that. And I started a consulting company and went on to work with car dealers all over the country. And even my first Fortune 500 customer, which was Volkswagen, at the age of 27. So I went through the experience of overwhelm. How do I do this? How do I, at 20, a 24-year-old, sell to 50-year-old, 55-year-old men who are my customers, and even bigger, because I didn't go to college, even bigger, how do I get a major corporation to want to do business with me? So going through that process, learning through that process, struggling through that process, and winning through that process really is what has driven me to say, okay, I achieved X, I learned Y. Now, how do I bring that message? How do I bring those strategies that I used for almost 15 years with auto industry leaders and dealers and small business owners in that field? How do I bring that to the rest of the world? And that's, wow. I mean, you can, I mean, my energy goes quick.
Yes, right? You can tell you got a lot of energy. I love your energy, Corey. I am going to come back to you. One of the things that stood out to me about what you said is when you were talking about wanting to be that divorce lawyer. There's way too much divorce in the world, in America. Let's talk about a little bit of love. I'm going to go ahead and introduce my next guest. She is amazing. You have seen her here before. We laughed. We had so much fun the last time, but she's back. The incredible Miss Joanne Moore. Joanne is a master wedding planner, author of Laughing All the Way to the Altar, wedding industry educator and speaker, expert in planning weddings and events in unique locations and venues. Joanne is amazing. She does weddings at mountains, ranches, private properties, all with unique challenges. Good morning, Joanne. How are you?
I'm doing amazing. How are you, my dear?
It's been wonderful. I've done over 250 episodes. It's been 1 year. The show is going, growing. So it's lovely to have you back. Talk to us. Tell us who you are, Joanne, what you do, what you're passionate about.
Oh my gosh, I am a hopeless romantic and believe in the happily ever after. So, and I used to work in the medical field. I worked cardiopulmonary for 20 years, heart and lung. So I went from the sick heart to the lovesick heart and never looked back. I love what I do. I believe that these families and these couples that I come in contact with, it was meant to happen and meant to be. When I get the sonogram 3 months later, then look what we've done. And Christmas cards and birthday cards throughout the year. It's just extraordinary what I get to do. And I just came back from Florida last week, a wedding that I planned 6 times since COVID hit. Started in 2019, was supposed to be an Aspen wedding up on the mountain. And we ended up moving it to their beautiful luxury home in Florida. Changed that date 4 times because of all the crazy in Florida. And wonderfully, it came off. It was spectacular. Everyone said it was the best wedding they've ever attended. But how can you go wrong when you're just searching and searching for something to be happy about and hope for the future? And bookings are up and weddings are coming back and couples are feeling hopeful again. So that's my message, is we're here and we're not going anywhere. Love is love, and we're going to keep plunging forward to celebrate that.
Well, I love that. And from the entrepreneurial standpoint, it's a lesson on tenacity, because you mentioned 6 times planning a wedding, 6 times. You know, after the first 2 or 3, I'd be like, I'm good. Like, just call me when everything is open back up. How do you keep everybody so excited and, you know, on task with so many being rescheduled so many times?
Well, you know, I survived the 2008 down economy when it crashed, and I saw so many of my colleagues go out of business, and I knew what it took to maintain and be resilient and plunge forward with hope and not give up, and what I had to have in place to keep the business going. So communication is key, is letting the industry, and, you know, I've written articles for Wedding Planner Magazine and stuff, so that we all keep moving forward and don't give up your business, because a lot of people have lost their business through this, couldn't survive. I tried to book a band and they dissolved through this. So what it is just knowing what is out there, that we will get through this. This isn't forever. We will get through. And the end product is worth the wait and worth the hard work and worth keeping up the hope for.
Oh, wow. Just, you look like someone who I would love to have a part of my life. You know what I mean? You're always so positive. Everything is going to be okay. I don't have a wedding plan. I might have one soon, but I definitely want to talk more to you, Joanne. I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And this young man is amazing as well. Mr. Brian Meert. Brian. Hi, Brian. I got to tell the people about you.
All right, go for it. Go for it.
Brian is the CEO of Advertisement, a Hollywood-based digital advertising agency that specializes in helping successful companies advertise on Facebook. Advertisement has managed millions of dollars in digital and ad spends in entertainment, fashion, finance, and software industries. Brian is also the author of the best-selling The Complete Guide to Facebook Advertising and the innovative The Complete Guide to Digital Advertising Policies infographic. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Oh, it's wonderful to be here, Sharifa.
See, wasn't that better when the people got to know you? It's like, wow, that's Brian.
I love it. I love it. You know, it's an honor to be here. And, you know, I get so excited, you know, when it comes to elements around advertising. You know, so many of the rules have changed that allow people that are starting a business or working from home, or, you know, the rules have changed with COVID in terms of how people do business, how they interact, how their, you know, their buying habits are happening. And it's just so fascinating because there's a lot of now, you know, tools that allow any person to be able to access the same types of features or systems that generally only large companies had access to in the past. And it's just been fascinating. You know, over the past year, so much has changed with COVID. And I just think it's amazing to see how the board is shifting and how people are now able to do things with ads or with online businesses that they were never able to do prior to this. So I just think it's an exciting time at what can happen moving forward.
You seem excited. I love exciting. I love exciting guests. But I'm just going to ask you this, Brian, because I'm a little biased and I noticed that you discussed advertising on Facebook. Sure. So many gurus will tell you, you have to be everywhere. You have to advertise everywhere. And for me, what I do as far as advertising and what has worked for me is Facebook advertising. I've tried I've tried Twitter advertising. I've tried LinkedIn advertising. I've tried Google advertising, but what has consistently converted from ad to customer is Facebook, you know, / Instagram ads. What are your thoughts?
It's a beautiful question. I get this all the time. You know, both myself and my team, I mean, we've managed hundreds of millions of dollars for the clients that we represent, and they all want the same thing. They want performance. And so there isn't necessarily one perfect ad. You know, every company has a different audience they're going after. So, you know, Google ads are fantastic. They work very well. People are raising their hand when they type in the keywords of what they're looking for. So, I mean, that's obviously who you want to get in front of. Facebook is very much a conversation. You know, the ads that are shown there, you have the ability to have a conversation with a customer, and a lot of people are social in nature. You know, it isn't just facts and figures. It's, I want to know what it can do for me and show me and wow me. And, you know, there's a lot of range there. You know, you're not limited to just a 30-second commercial. You could have a 5-minute video that you run as an ad that talks all about why you started your company and what makes you different and better. And so, you know, they're both powerful tools. I always tell people it's like a hammer and a saw. You know, if you're building a house, you want to use both. They're both tools and they're both different. So, you know, I just think with the digital landscape, there's a lot of new tools, things like TikTok or Pinterest or LinkedIn, a lot of these new ad platforms. And based on whatever your company is doing and who you want to reach, there most likely is going to be an order in terms of where you would approach which platforms first.
Excellent answer. I love it. For me, Google advertising has worked, but I have found, especially since, you know, because I built my first website in 1994. I've been doing this for a long time. And so when Facebook advertising came out, I migrated over to it. I have been using Google advertising. But what I found was on Facebook, I could pay per click, you know, maybe $1 or $2. What I was paying Google $10 to $20 for as far as the per click rate, which is why I changed over to Facebook advertising. So I want to talk to you a little bit more about that, Brian, but I am going to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And this young lady blows me away, Miss Chevalier. She is a former music teacher, composes essential harmonies through fragrance. After the COVID-19 quarantine took Chevalier from her elementary music classroom to her home, she immediately took to social media to educate the public about ways to improve both focus and rest during this time of staying home. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm excited, but I've been dying to ask you this question this whole time. What do you have behind you?
This is actually my perfume organ. These are the materials that I work with, essential oils, aroma chemicals. This is where the magic happens.
That's a lot. I've never seen that many in a home in my life, like in a store maybe. But how do you get all those oils?
I have different suppliers that I have forged relationships with over the years. This is my office now. So I have moved from my home to an office space. So it allows me to have a lot more area to cover. These are all from suppliers that I have started when I began the business in 2005 until now. And I have maybe three or four trusted suppliers that I've been using since that time.
Wow. I love it. And where are you located?
I am in Longview, Texas. So I'm about 2 hours east of Dallas.
Okay, I was just being nosy, especially when you start to say Long. I was like, is she in Long Beach? Because I'm in Long Beach, California. But no, because if you was in Long Beach, I would be at your house after this show picking up some essential oils. I love it. But I started in with my questions. Please tell us who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
I'm Chevalier Mwamba. I am an elementary through 12th grade certified music teacher. I am a musician as well, but I'm also a fragrance designer. And I specialize in perfumes. However, during the COVID-19, when it first hit, I noticed that people were suffering from two things, insomnia and lack of focus. So as a person who has dealt with children who had the same issues, I wanted to be able to provide a product through natural mediums that would help people to alleviate the lack of focus and also help them to sleep at night. So even though perfumery is the main aspect of Pink Mahogany, I do offer the essential oil diffuser blends for both the vehicle and the home or business. So I always like to be conscious of certain issues that people may be suffering with and provide a solution that also not only smells good, but also provides benefits to them as well.
Okay, do you have an oil for manifestation?
Not as of yet, but I am working on a couple of things. Got some things in the works.
I'm like, I just like ways to create magic. Find me something to make some things happen. I'm driving in my car. I need stuff to just start to appear. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
But it seems like you really enjoy what you do. So you mentioned the transition during COVID-19. How was that for your business? You know, because you had to stop being a teacher, then you went into this different area. How did that affect you?
It actually was quite positive. So much so that, I'm a solopreneur. I don't yet have a team. Until this summer, I'll have interns. But it was a little bit overwhelming because I kind of pivoted towards hand sanitizers to try to offer something that was of utmost interest at the time when COVID first hit. And from there, it kind of segued into customers wanting to learn about the other products. So from there, I got, magazine articles written, interviews and things like that. So it actually helped. The challenge was once things kind of started to, I guess, plateau, and I noticed that my suppliers began to have issues, it also affected my business. And being a small business owner working on kind of a niche scale, it posed some challenges. I had to really try to find alternative suppliers for the things that I use. I use organic alcohol for all of my perfumes and sanitizers. So it was definitely a learning experience and trying to make sure that I keep a quality product and keep quality supplies, all while keeping up with the supply and demand.
That's right. All while keeping up with life and everything that's going on during a global pandemic. I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. He is the CEO and co-founder of Storyvine, Mr. Kyle Shannon. Kyle's background and skills are eclectic, but a common thread that has emerged is storytelling in one form or another. He's a professionally trained writer and actor who's found a way to apply his skills and passions to projects in companies ranging from inventing, patenting, manufacturing a line of educational fly fishing kits to starting one of the first online art and cultural magazines, Urban Desires, to co-founding one of the largest interactive marketing firms, agency.com. Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. So nice to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
I'm excited to have you. So you were the co-founder of agency.com?
I was indeed. I was the co-founder and chief creative officer, and then later became the chief people officer as we grew so fast that we were ruining people's lives. And I said, someone's got to deal with this. So yeah, it was crazy. We founded it in 1995. You said you built your first website in 1994. I did the first issue of Urban Desires in November of 94. So
yeah, good year then.
Yeah, did it then too. It was a really remarkable time. It was funny that online magazine that I did, I didn't know anything about the internet or the web. It was all very new, right? And so I built this thing. It seemed like I did everything right. And then I uploaded it to some server in California. I didn't really even know what that meant. And a month later, I got an email from someone that said, hey, Kyle, there's a full page article about Urban Desires in Libération, the Parisian newspaper. And I was living in New York City at the time, and I went the next Sunday down to the international newsstand in Times Square, and I bought this newspaper, all in French, and I opened it up, and sure enough, there's a full-page article with pictures of this website I built. And in that moment, I knew the world had changed.
Where is it? I want to see the news. I know it's somewhere on that desk.
What's that?
The magazine, the newspaper that you bought.
Oh, it's somewhere. I don't have it here.
I know it's somewhere back there. I would have kept that forever.
Yeah, I've got some things here from those old days. Yeah, exactly.
Kyle, what are you passionate about?
So I'm passionate about storytelling. I really, one of my deep passions that really is a through line, you know, through my life and my career is storytelling. But Storyvine is a 9-year-old company, and it's a problem that I've been trying to solve for about 15 years. And it's the problem of, I feel that everyone's got a story to tell, and video storytelling is incredibly powerful. So what we've created with Storyvine is a platform that automates video production. And the idea is to democratize video storytelling. So we've got an app that guides an end user step-by-step through telling a specific story. And then they answer some questions in that app. It goes up to the cloud, and a few minutes later, you've got a fully edited video. So we do a lot of work in, for example, the healthcare and pharma space. So if Pfizer, for example, wants some of their patients of a particular drug to be able to share their experience about that condition or how they're managing it, they use our app, they answer some questions in that app, and a few minutes later, they've got an incredibly authentic but professionally created video. So we allow our clients to have real people tell their stories, but do it in a way that's professional and branded and to do it at scale. So it's video storytelling at scale. And it's really about, you know, giving people a voice to powerfully share their stories.
Wow, I love it. I'm going to ask you my serial entrepreneur question. I love asking serial entrepreneurs.
I am officially unemployable at this point, so
I say the same thing. That's crazy. I tell people, like, I cannot get no one will hire me. I got to work for myself because I am unhirable, but not that aspect. You don't need a job. You're amazing. But were you always an entrepreneur? I asked a guest this yesterday. It was so incredible. She was like, yes, she sold her friend's tickets to her backyard carnival at 6 years old. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. What were you doing? Like, she sold them tickets to garden in her garden. I'm like, how do you do that? But serial entrepreneurs, usually there's some element in childhood, whether it's the lemonade stand or mowing lawns. Was that you, Kyle?
That was me. And not consciously. I think I was always curious. I was always problem solving. But for example, I lived next to a golf course, and I thought, you know, I bet people are going to get really thirsty on the back nine between, you know, the ninth hole and the 18th hole. So I rolled out a cooler full of lemonade and things in the middle of a golf course, which I'm pretty sure was not allowed, but, you know, you know, I went to school for acting and I moved to New York City, and I kind of realized, oh, you need an agent, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I thought, well, why don't I just start a theater company? If I want to act, you know, let's put on a show, right? So I've always kind of been in that thing where I want to do something, I get passionate about it. My immediate thing is just, how do you start doing that? And that's led to a very eclectic career and a really interesting life so far.
That led you to be unhirable, Kyle. Look what you've done.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, this lovely young lady, Miss Shannon Murphy. Shannon is the founder and chief strategist of Shine Content Strategy, a content marketing consultant, an alum of Boston-based technology startups like Brightcove and HubSpot. Shannon has worked in SEO since 2008 and video marketing since 2013. Founded in 2017, Shine Content aligns marketing teams and key stakeholders, helping them refine their content efforts and hit business goals. Good morning, Shannon. How are you?
Morning, Sharifa. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Can you send me that jacket?
Yeah, trying to bring the spring right now.
That's why I put on this pink today. I was like, you have so many dark clothes. Like, you gotta put a little color, put a little
pink. Notice I have my business black underneath, right?
Just easy. Don't have to think about it too far. I love it. What are you up to these days, Shannon? What's going on with you?
Oh, lots. Right. Last year was hard for a lot of people. I was included in that a bit. I had some family members get sick that I had to take care of. This year has been one of the best yet. So very, very busy Q1 and Q2. So I consult with B2B technology companies on their content strategy and SEO. That always bleeds a little bit into messaging work as well, right? Because they all say that they have it before we get started, and then I get in there and it's kind of a wreck. So working with them on messaging, product messaging, I have a really exciting project right now with a fast growing company in the MSP space, working on all their customer touch points. And so I'm really excited to stretch myself that way as well.
So how did you get into this industry?
Yeah, I graduated with a degree in journalism at a time when there was really no journalism jobs, or the traditional media was shrinking, right? And I guess similar to Kyle, I thought, well, if I want to write, like, nobody's stopping me from doing that, right? So I started blogging, and within that process, learned about SEO as a way to attract eyeballs to that content. And then from there, really just made the switch from journalism, I guess, to the evil world of marketing.
People say that. I had another guest who said the same thing. She was like, I created my business because I wanted to do ethical marketing. I'm like, why does everybody have this image of because it's marketing? Where's Brian? I want to talk to Brian. Are you evil, Brian?
Man, I've had this conversation a number of times where we'll joke with friends where, you know, if you follow the trail long enough, it usually ends with a marketing person or a business person somewhere like, oh, it's their fault. No, you know, I don't think so. I think, you know, they're all, people are trying to grow their businesses. They're trying to reach people with a product or a service. But it is funny how sometimes it feels like it all stems from the marketing people.
Yes. Corey, how can you grow your business without marketing?
You can't.
Good answer.
I have five pillars of business growth. The second one is marketing. So yeah, you don't.
Okay. So what are the other four?
Sales, marketing, operations, people, and mindset. So every business growth issue, every problem that anybody has growing will fall under one of those five categories. So learning how to identify so you can then fix those, that becomes obviously the more complicated process.
Okay, are they in order of preference or any particular order?
No, actually, I've never been asked that question before, but no,
thank you. I'm good.
I just like that flow better, I think. So no, but you know, fundamentally, it's really about addressing the issue that is the most pressing. So they all spill over into each other, right? So you're gonna have the best marketing in the world, but if your sales funnel and your sales process stinks, then all the great marketing won't matter. Now, the reverse of that is you can have a great, solid, hardcore closing sales funnel process, but if you have soft marketing, bad content, not telling great stories, because if you think about every brand right now that we're really gaga over or that is experiencing hyper growth, it is based upon that story. So a Warby Parker, a Bombas socks, yeah. Even if you go back 10 years to a Toms, nobody bought a pair of Toms 10 years ago because they look good. They did it because of the story associated with what they were doing socially that made you feel good to be part of that movement.
Yeah. I just asked because it was just interesting that you ended the five with mindset. And to me, it's like, that's number one. Like, no matter what else you do, you have to have the mindset for it. Now, Shannon, Corey, and Kyle talked about stories. But I know with marketing and journalism, stories are a big part of the whole process. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think something for me in which this business working in marketing strategy speaks to me is that I still have that investigative curiosity of a journalist, and I want to find out what is interesting about that brand or that person and bring that to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Joanne, you create stories because you create magic. You create moments and opportunities that people will have for a lifetime. How do you do that? That's the question. How do you create the magic?
Oh, well, listening is a big part of it. What their vision is. It's not my wedding or event. So I really have to listen to what my clients are thinking. And then after they've elevated themselves to the moon, I have to bring them down to what's realistic with the budget that they present. And that's always a factor. They can have anything and everything they want, provided they have the budget that can back it up. Mm-hmm. But I listen and hear what they want. I'm not going to propose anything that's on their I hate this category. And if they say, I want to get married on top of a mountain, by golly, we're going to get married on top of a mountain. And what that entails sometimes is, you know, risking my life in a lightning storm with hail hitting me and New Yorkers thinking that's snow. No, you're going to die. Get to the bus. You know, so.
Okay, hold on. Wait, I was confused. That sounds like a true story, Joanne. That didn't sound like an example you just pulled out of thin air. What mountain, what lightning, what happened?
Yeah, we were at a location years ago, a location called The Summit, which is exactly that. It's in this beautiful mountain top, and it's just phenomenal. You can see forever. And we put chairs there. I mean, it was, you know, a bit of a haul to get up there and do what they wanted to do. And then I have this wonderful app on my phone called My Radar, and I can see what's coming over a mountain ridge before anyone else can. And as the bride is taking her time walking this walk, and I'm telling the officiant, we got to move this along. We got to go low. And all of a sudden I see this lightning storm come over the ridge, and I hear sirens in the distance of a golf course not too far away going off. And I'm going like this to the officiant, you've got to end it now. And he, in the mid sentence, he says, I now pronounce you husband and wife. You may kiss. Everybody head this way. And immediately the sky opens up and people are, and I'm going, how am I going to explain that all these people got hit by lightning on top of a mountain? But no one got hurt. We even saved the dog. But we all got binged with, hail, knowing, and the New Yorkers there thought that was snow because we were so high up. I'm like, no, get to the bus. It was a challenge, but there's so many, you know, you see the cello and the being dragged across the lawn as he's running to take cover and all those things.
I love it though. Kyle, when you hear Joanne tell this story, what are your thoughts? I mean, because I love the graphic details in it because I can visualize it. I can see it.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the things about good storytelling. I mean, there's a couple of elements to it. And we were talking before about marketing kind of as a bad rap. I think one of the ways it can get a bad rap is if the storytelling is inauthentic, right? Mm-hmm. There's sort of effective storytelling, but there's also inauthentic storytelling. I think we live in a world now where authenticity is everything, right? For the last year, we've been on Zoom calls. You know when someone's being authentic or not, when they're engaged or not. And so for me, storytelling is, how do you get real people to tell real stories in a compelling way, right? So there's the storytelling aspect of it. We need to, tell stories in a structured way so that it communicates. But in the end, if I don't believe that story, then it's inauthentic, and it's like that could damage a brand or something like that. So for me, authenticity is key, and how you get to that is a mystery. But in the end, it's about empathy, right? It's about listening. I think that's what you said, Joanne, right? About you've got to listen. It's not your show. You've got to listen. That's what everything is about. And if you can communicate your story well, someone else will hear that. There'll be an empathetic connection there, and then you're off to the races. And if you can do that for a brand and you can do that consistently, that's when you start to build brands that were talked about that people trust and people go to, even if they have ugly shoes.
You threw me at the end, but I love it. I love it.
Would you mind if I
can't find a job? Go ahead, Brian.
Would you mind if I jump in real quick? One of the things that a lot of people don't realize with Facebook ads is that competitors don't pay the same price. That ads on Facebook could be super different. Two identical companies could run ads and one could pay half the price of the other. And it all comes back to the quality of ads, which mm-hmm. goes back to a lot of times storytelling. And I think that one of the elements that I think a lot of business owners often overlook is that there are things about their company that would be fascinating to someone that doesn't know about it. Meaning, as Joanne's telling the story, like I'm here like a little kid eating popcorn and being like, and then what happened next? And did the people get wet or not? Right. She's holding my attention. Or whether Shivanti is talking about essential oils and different things and the chemicals. Like, I want to know what happens if you mix all those together. Like, what kind of blends are you back there doing? Like, I think there's lots of fascinating things. And, I think that's where it really comes back to the authenticity of storytelling, which is you can just talk about what you do. And people find that fascinating in a world that traditional advertising is all about, I'm going to push something on you. Yeah. I'm going to just put "just do it" in front of you 1,000 times and you'll know my slogan. But if there's not that connection, and that's what stories have the ability to do, and that's where social ads have really risen so much, is because you have the ability to connect with the other person on the other side and say, hey, here's what I do and why I do it and why I'm passionate about it. And a lot of times that can resonate and overpower hundreds of millions of dollars in ad budgets, because a person believes in who's on the other end and what they're doing.
I like that. And you got a great question there. So we're going to ask Chevalier, what happens? Do you mix them all together? Are you over there with your little mixing pot, your cauldron? Like, what you doing over there?
It really depends on what I'm creating. If it's a perfume, then it will be a combination of essential oils. That is what kind of sets my brand apart, is that I do work intuitively. So I like to incorporate natural essences. I do believe that things from nature hold different vibrations, if you will. So if you're putting that on your skin just to wear as, just to feel good, I want it to encompass nature's essences. So I don't combine every single thing that you see back here. It is a bit of a laborious process. I write everything down, but in short, yes, I do try to open myself up to create with different mediums.
I like that. I like the term, I'll give you a second, Kyle. I like when you say you do it intuitively. That's when cooks used to say, I don't use a recipe. Let me have to a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then I come up with something.
Kyle. Right. I do still have to write my formulas down, though. I learned my lesson the hard way.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a question for you, Chevalier. Mm-hmm. My gut is telling me that when you're putting these things together, it's actually a form of storytelling, right? You're taking something that smells like this, something that smells like that. You're taking someone on a journey, right? So like, is that a fair assumption? Like talk about that creative process.
It kind of starts with, I just open myself up to limitless possibilities. So I could be driving, just as an example. I could be driving somewhere and see a picture of a lemon or an orange. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I use all of my senses. So I'll immediately start thinking, oh, wow, like kind of phantom smelling, if you will, before I even sit down where I am now and start blending or actually putting things together. So I'll start with that and say, okay, maybe I want it to be bright. So I'll use lemon and then see what I can add as lift. Because if I'm using lemon essential oil, in the world of fragrance, essential oils don't necessarily last very long. So then we have to use other aroma chemicals or materials that will kind of help to boost that. So it starts with me thinking what would go well with this for what I'm thinking of or what I want the customer to feel. Or, you know, it's a whole, like all five senses type process. So then I'll write everything down once I get here to my office, and then I'll start just kind of picking things. And it's like with me, the more I smell, like if I smell lemon and I close my eyes and then, you know, kind of come back to it a couple seconds later, I'll smell something different that's not in that lemon essential oil, but it kind of, it's like a story. So I'm adding word by word until I have the full sentence, so to speak. Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I love it. Now, Shannon, it would seem to me when you talk about content writing, someone who has essential oils and a lot of fragrance, that's a lot of opportunity for content because you can possibly write articles about each essential oil or each flavor or how it makes you feel or what it's serving or what the benefits are. But that's just me. That's not my profession. What are your thoughts, Shannon?
Yeah, no, but those are some great kernels to pull at, right? In terms of either trends or approaches. I think for Chevalier, it's, you know, does she want to get into each oil specifically? Or is it talking about, I think Kyle really landed on it with talking about the creative process. And when we got into that, I thought, oh, like maybe you're kind of combining worlds based upon like these associations with these different oils. That's where I went visually with that. It was like, oh, what does lemon make me think of? And what would sage make me think of visually? And then how would I pull those together? But yeah, from like a business development standpoint and integrating content into that, there's so many different ways that we could go with this in terms of, you know, you touched upon kind of like the flavor notes, Sharifa, but we could also get into what is the feeling or the goal of that oil? Like you mentioned oils for manifestation, right? So if Chevalier is giving a rundown of different types of oil combinations and this was the goal or the user's goal, right? Like if they're turning to search and saying, I need an essential oil for X, like insomnia. Right. I have an essential oil that I give one of my friends or a bunch of my friends that work in technology because they're all run into the ground and none of them can sleep anymore. Stuff like that. So I think it could be actually, of course, she should tell her story and the ways in which I would say these kind of different motifs come to life through those oils for her. But there is something to be said for identifying with the end user, what would they want from this? And could we write posts based around their goals?
Absolutely, I love it. Now, Corey, we've got a new business. We're doing essential oils, we're branding them, we're marketing them, we're getting them out there. So at the end of the day, we got to grow this business. We are now invested, Corey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, well, first I know she's been doing it a long time, but you know, essential oils are very popular. I mean, you know, there are a lot of those type of businesses. And I think Shannon was just talking about it best is really what is the spin that you want to put on, right? So you have brands out there like doTERRA that have made whole hierarchies, right? They have a whole multi-level kind of system and they have evangelists out there. So at the end of the day, what is the spin that becomes a little different? Which clearly the custom blends, these type of things that can be played on. I'm a big fan of the idea of putting yourself in the brand. So people who work with us, people who join our programs and who coach with me, they don't care what the name of my company is. They don't care what my, you know, brand colors are. They care about whether or not when I'm talking, what I'm saying makes sense to them. And can this guy help me or not? Right. So I think that translates into just about, particularly service-based businesses, of course, it translates well into, but that translates into basically anything. So if her ability to successfully put herself into the brand and say, hey, it's not just oils being blended here that we're patching up and shipping out to you like generic. I'm not the Amazon of oils or the Zappos of oils here. I'm bringing a custom experience. I'm doing a consult with you. What is this 1, 2, 3? I'm big on the simplify to multiply. So what is the 1, 2, 3 step process, right? So have a consultation with me, have me customize your blends, make your selection, have your package delivered. How can I separate myself in the market no matter what I'm doing? We're doing that right now with a pet, with a local pet store who is priced competitively to basically compete with everybody based on the way he prices his product or service. So we're doing a ask the pet store owner, ask the expert series. We're doing food consultations where you can book a Zoom with him or a staff member about food for, you know, everybody cleaned out the shelters and puppies, you know, during the pandemic, everybody went and got themselves a pet. So now you have all these new pet owners in the market. What should I be feeding my dog? What should I be feeding my cat? So now we're pushing that by way of advertising to say, hey, get a free consultation. Don't make bad mistakes. There's a million foods out there. Get a free 30-minute consultation. And he's getting customers for life as a result. So the key is always, what is the spin, right? It doesn't matter if someone's done it before. It's never been done by you. So what spin can you put on that is going to make the brand stand out? And what's the story, you know, to Kyle's point? What's the marketing strategy? What does that ad look like to Brian's point? What's the content that supports that? I'm a big content person. So we've got a free 15-day business growth video series. We've got 6, you know, what we call EBMs, right? Educational-based marketing. Shannon knows that. I spoke at Inbound in 2017. So I love the whole HubSpot world. But it's those pieces of the puzzle that now says, okay, here's how I'm different. Here's how you want to do business with me. And that starts the growth trend because you're no longer a commodity. You now become a singular source. I don't just want essential oils. I want Chevalier's essential oils.
You hired Corey. We built trust. Shannon, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. All I was saying is Corey nailed it. Like that education builds trust, whether it's the pet store owner, a Chevalier, getting that one-on-one time, and you're selling the end product, but that advice and insight that happens in between, that's a trust builder.
I love it. Now, Joanne, I know people come to you because of who you are. They buy into Joanne, I believe, more than anything else. But, you know, is it always so happy and lovely and positive? Do you ever get couples where you're going, I'm not sure they're going to make it?
Yeah. In short, yeah, I have had couples that I'm going, why? I don't see it. And, you know, a lot of times it's a very dominant male that is so controlling. And you know, I even remember having a conversation with the venue location and they were talking about, if ever I wished for a runaway bride, she'd be the one. So it wasn't just me feeling that. But yeah, for me, I have to build trust with my clients. And a lot of my clients come to me because of referrals from venues, from vendors. There is such a thing in my industry as repeat customers, believe it or not. You know, I planned one wedding for them and didn't work out, and they're calling me, Joanne, I'm getting married. I'm like, you are married. What are you talking about? So I do get a few of those, but lots of referrals because of who I am and what I've done. I've been doing this since the beginning of dirt, I think. I've started out, like I said, in the medical field, and started doing events, because in Vail, Colorado, where I'm from, everybody has to volunteer to make these community events. And so successful. And I got to work with, back then, President Ford with the 4th of July parade. I ordered up the F-16s to fly over. That's a hoot, asking the general to fly and buzz my head. And he goes, okay. Really? But I'm very fortunate that I have had some incredible experiences, some incredible clients over the years, that I'm a part of their family and getting, like I said, Christmas cards and things in the mail. Their family's growing. As not yet one child has been named after me, though. And I feel like I've had something to do with it.
The nerve. The nerve, I tell you.
Hello.
I have a question. I have a question for Joanne, actually, if I two things. One, my feet are still hurting from the rental ski boots when I went to Vail 2 years ago. I'm never skiing again, number one. But number two, my question was, I've always operated under this theory, the bigger the wedding, many times the more tragic, potentially, the divorce. So a lot of people put so much emphasis. Is there any truth to that? Or today's actually my 9th wedding anniversary. And
happy anniversary.
Thank you. Congratulations. Thank you. And we kept it very simple, 60 people. Now, I'm a math guy, so I was really going down the list of, you know, what the ROI was going to be. That's a whole different conversation.
On the wedding, Corey, you're not a
romantic. I had to know, you know, I mean, once you get past your mother and your aunties, everybody right. else is subjective. So I was going for ROI. I wanted to make sure my doctor friends were there and some of my clients. But my friends who I know had $40,000 weddings, $50,000 weddings. They're all divorced. I'm curious. What's your experience?
Well, let me say this so that I don't sound like I'm talking specifically about someone, but really I am. A wedding that I've done recently was over $300,000 wedding, and wow. we had under 60 guests, and the bride was angry at something, come to find out 2 days before, she still hadn't signed the prenup. Need I say more? So that was their business. They had the most amazing, beautiful, beautiful wedding that just was exquisite on everything. I mean, everything that we did, every little mm-hmm. detail from the band to the photographers to the aerial shots with, you know, the videographer. I mean, just exquisite. So they have those memories, hopefully, that will last them a while and not the argument 2 days out. Of who's, you know, I want more in my prenup. And it sounds like wow. she got what she wanted. So God bless her.
Wow. I'm with Corey on that one, though. I need a hell of a ROI on $250,000. Like, I need something to happen here for this wedding. Yeah. This has been an interesting, fun conversation. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And this is where everybody gets to give their 30-second pitch. So speak now to everybody who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Kyle.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much. Well, if you want authentic storytelling for your business, I feel like there are a number of people in this conversation I should probably meet with after this, because we're all talking about storytelling in one form or another. But check out storyvine.com. We just launched a new product called Storyvine Now, which is pre-built template kits. We just launched a new one for the home healthcare market. So if you're running a home healthcare company and you want your caregivers to be able to create training videos or customer testimonials or video check-ins, you know, you can do that very quickly. So super excited about what we're doing and, you know, helping our clients tell their stories authentically and have, you know, free their people to share their stories authentically on behalf of those brands, and super passionate about it. So give us a ring, check out storyvine.com, and happy to help.
I love that. So contact Johnson & Johnson and tell them they need a new video to go out to let people know how things are these days.
It's going
to
be okay.
Exactly. It's going to be okay. Let everybody okay. know.
Every vaccine.
Exactly. Put the Band-Aid over it.
Yep.
I'm sorry. That was bad. But Shannon, what do you have for us?
So I would say that there's a lot of people, especially in my niche of B2B technology, a lot of leaders kind of running around crazy saying, we need content. Or we're not really sure why certain pages on our website are still performing. They're not even related to our core business. If those are things that you're saying, and you'd like to create content with a purpose that we can align around key business metrics and ROI, then check out shinecontentstrategy.com and I would be happy to help you.
I love it. Thank you. Shavalia.
As the world is opening up, with more travel, people driving, taking vacations, I want you guys to be safe. I do have vehicle diffusers that do come with my essential oil blend called Zoom In. So while you're driving and taking the family and traveling, I want you to be safe and alert behind the wheel. So if that's something that you are interested in for yourself or those that you love and care about, get at me. My Instagram handle is PM_fragrances, and that'll take you to my website as well as all of the other information about myself and the brand Pink Mahogany.
I like it. Does Zoom In prevent road rage? That's what I need to know. I got it bad. Like I do. I'm in California in LA County on the 405. And if anybody's ever been on the 405, I need to zoom in. So can you help me?
I can help you with that.
Okay. Thank you. Joanne, what do you have for us?
Hey, weddings are back. Things are starting to open up. Just learned last night that even Las Vegas, even the state of Nevada is going to be 100% open, still with some restrictions with masks and social distancing, but come June 1. So everything is starting to open. What I do as a planner during COVID is keep everybody safe, and especially my vendor team and, you know, everybody with masks and all of that. But JoanneMoreWeddings.com, I do have a blog on COVID and weddings, and so I'm an easy resource for people. And if you need a good laugh, laughing all the way to the altar, on Barnes and Noble, Amazon, and Kindle, and Bookworm up in Vail, and it's a lot of fun stories based on real events that have happened to me behind the scenes. And before you even read it, I need to tell you, I survived every one of them. I am fine, I promise you. Nobody got hurt. One got arrested, and I did have to raise bail money once. But other than that, everything is fine.
You can't just end the show without, you got to come back, Joanne. Come back, go to
ashley.com,
schedule a, you know, because I need to know, how do you have to, you're the wedding planner, and you're coming up. Okay, next show, Joanne, I want to talk to you again. Brian, what do you have for us?
Oh yeah. First, I just want to say thanks for posting bail. That helped me out a lot. No. yeah. You know, I think if anyone's out there, if you're a business owner or you're starting or thinking about starting a business, I mean, there are just some fantastic options that didn't exist a couple of years ago that can help you grow your business. And you know, if you want to learn more, anyone on my team would be happy to talk with you. Our company is Advertisement, MINT.com. And we've got a wonderful team that all we do every day is help people, you know, reach their dreams and grow their businesses, which is just really exciting. And it's exciting time. So we'd be happy to talk with you. And if you've been wanting to start a business and haven't done it yet, my advice I would give you is just go do it. Like, take that first step, get moving. You know, our parents and our grandparents would look at us today and be like, you guys have so many resources that we never had available to us. And I think now it's just a great time to take that first step and go for something big.
Okay, Brian, you mentioned a couple of times, you said my team, anyone on my team, someone on my team, because I usually like to, you know, I'm bougie. I only work with certain people, like CEOs, founders, the top of the chain. But who's this team? Introduce a few people.
We've got a big team working for us now. You know, tons of people that can, you know, help with, you know, explaining specific platforms.
If you want a name, who's your right hand?
Vic would be the guy you would call. And then, yeah, he's the top of the chain that helps work with people. But we love to have conversations with people and go from there. So, I mean, there's several people on the team that do calls and talk with people as they come in, based on what they're looking to do, what vertical they're in, or what platforms they're looking to go after. So we want to make sure that, you know, you're talking with the right person that can get you the answers about how can X help me grow my company. And that's how we've kind of built out the structure.
Internally. Good answer. I'm just giving you a hard time. That's when you just ignore all my questions, because you know what I mean? I'm just giving you a hard time. Corey, what do you think of today's show?
I think today's show is awesome. And, you know, my message is this: your business should be growing. Sales should be up. Customers should be raving fans. Your team should be evangelists, and cash should be flowing. If those things aren't happening, well, you need to take action and do something about it. Simple enough for me, if you go to CoreyMosley.com, C-O-R-Y, or you'll be in trouble with my mother, M-O-S-L-E-Y.com. One of my principles is value first. So the first thing you're going to see in the first 10 seconds is a 15-day business growth video series, 100% free, every morning at 8:30 for 15 days. You're going to get content from me. If that content makes sense, if it connects with your business and you want to talk further, believe me, I've got a tight sales funnel. You'll have an opportunity to do that at that time. But I like to start with value. So if you want to get some value, some tips, some tactics, some strategies, that's the place to do it. And I just want to say real quick, Sharifa, this is a great panel you put together. One of the things I talk about is the problem with dealing with amateurs. Too many people out there in their business are hiring amateurs to help them. And you've got such a professional group of people on here today. So any one of these people here, really, and I've been looking people up while we were on, like on the sly. So there's such a great group here, and professionals hire other professionals when they need help. I've never talked to a Fortune 500 CEO who told me he grew his business 13% by joining a free Facebook group. So please keep that in mind. Thank you for having me also.
You are so welcome. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for every, you know, that, especially about professionals, because I tell people that all the time. And I remind them of this kind of joke that I have with my my mechanic. My mechanic told me one day, he was like, "You take such wonderful care of your car." He was like, "Most women don't." He's like, "But you take really good care of your car." Like, he's been dealing with all of my cars for years. But I told him, I said, "No, I don't take good care of my cars. You take good care of my cars. You give me a little sticker, a little date, come back in 2 months. We got to do the accelerate. We got it. And I'm back, you know." But I hire a professional who knows what they do. Almost everybody in my life, I outsource everything from Postmates. Those are people who cook. Those are restaurants who cook. Some of them went to culinary school so that they can cook for everyone and they can cook for me. My laundry service is delivered. I hire professionals for everything so that I have the time and the energy to focus on what I do best, and that is helping entrepreneurs and hosting my talk shows. This has been an amazing show. I loved it. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the show live does not mean you're not important. And it doesn't mean we still don't need your support, because we do. Please go ahead and share the show. But I always ask, don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Support our guests. Our guests are here this morning to assist you, to support you, to provide you with advice, guidance, strategies for you and your business. So please support them. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.